And if you, I'll be reading from Matthew 5, verses 47 through 48. And if you greet your brethren, only what you do more than others. Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect.
Well, if you want to leave your Bibles right there at Matthew 48, that's where we're going to spend most of our time this evening. And as we look at this scripture, we look at the context and the shape of the scriptures before this verse. You know, we're given some instruction here. We're given guidance. We're giving models of behavior. In 5:22, and these are paraphrased, everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty. In 5:37, let your yes be yes, your no, no. 5:39, turn the other cheek. In 5:41, go the second mile. In 5:42, give to him who asks and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow. In 5:43, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. In 5:48 is the punctuation. And you could have a big exclamation point behind this, I think. You know, it says, you therefore shall be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. You therefore shall be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. So are we being called to do something that's Are we being called to do something that's unfair? Are we being called to do something that's impossible? Are we being called to do something that's unreasonable? Is it a trick, a riddle? Are we being set up to fail? Now, our inclination is, well, of course not to all of these, but there's still that phrase, you shall be perfect. It's daunting when you think about it, and in some instances, your mind may think, well, that's kind of not in line with other scriptures that we've looked at. So let's, first of all, as we think about the word perfect, and we think about being perfect, let's think about where that word comes from and the context, perhaps, that is being set forth here for us. So first off, the word perfect in the Greek comes from the word teleios, and I'm not a Greek scholar, so hopefully that was somewhere in the realm of how it's pronounced. But it's used to denote completeness or full maturity. Completeness or full maturity. And you start thinking about that as you're thinking of maybe our definition of perfect in our own minds. Teleios is from telos, which is an objective goal to pattern ourselves after, or the conclusion or ultimate, and the shape starts maybe appearing for us now, right? If we're thinking about an objective goal to pattern ourselves after, we're thinking about a conclusion or ultimate, in this case, God, right? Even as your heavenly Father does, you shall be perfect, right? So as we then turn to maybe our definition of perfect and we start trying to reconcile this scripture. Webster's definition of perfect is having all the required or desirable elements, qualities, or characteristics as good as it is possible to be, absolute or complete. Now, if we think about the first part of that, then the scripture maybe is a bit daunting for us, right? Because it says having all the required or desirable elements, qualities, or characteristics as good as it is possible to be. The second definition, though, starts maybe corresponding a little more back to the Greek when it says absolute or complete. So we're going to have 3 points that we're going to consider for a few minutes tonight. Number one, in this scripture, we could consider, when we're told, you shall be perfect, is this discussing and talking about a current earthly condition, a future, number two, a future heavenly condition, or number three, actions, attitudes, or states to strive for? And as we go back to number one, Romans 3:23 tells us, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Well, wait a minute. It just said, you shall be perfect, but it also says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, so probably not referring to an earthly condition. Isaiah 55:8, as we look back to the Old Testament, says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. So if we're made perfect through Christ Jesus, and God provided that perfect sacrifice for us, then how in this life could we achieve perfection? Could we become perfect? In the case of the second point, is this a future or heavenly condition? Well, maybe so, maybe in part. Philippians 3:12, not that I have already obtained this or am I already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. So here we're told, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, correct? But in Matthew, you know, Jesus is, this is the end of the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is very clearly articulating principles and behaviors that we should apply to our life. And he says, you shall be perfect. So we've got to reconcile this. We've got to think about it, right? It requires a little thought. Because we haven't obtained perfection, just as in Philippians 3:12. Could it be actions, attitudes, states to strive for? I think maybe yes. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, right? So we're absolutely given instruction that we should strive in word and deed, in our behaviors, in our actions, in our attitudes, to do all in the name of the Lord. So, again, reconciling this daunting principle of achieving perfection, of the fact that Jesus said this, said that you shall be perfect, what are some of the views beyond definitions that we've seen examples of in the Bible? And there's two that jump out, and there's one that might do an umbrella over Christendom. But first of all, the Pharisees, right? The Pharisees, they stood on the street corners, they walked up and down the streets, they took perfection to competitive levels, right? I'm going to be better than you because I know more than you, I look better than you, I speak better than you, in all my actions, I'm better than you. You're never going to get there because you can never live up to this example of the law that we've set in our apparel, in our praying in public, in these outward appearances. So this Pharisaical definition or portrayal of perfection sometimes bleeds over into modern day thought process. When we start thinking of what's perfect, you know, we're thinking of these flawless gems, this maybe perfect outfit or the perfect tone of a voice, right? We think of these things and we apply them. Therefore, if those things aren't present in our own lives, we sometimes feel we could never get there. We can never be good enough. We can never take the actions or walk the walk that we'd be good enough to call ourselves perfect at any level, right? Then there was the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler, and we probably all know this story, said, what must I do to be saved, to receive this gift? Sell everything you've got and follow me. Boy, wait a minute.
Perfection
in the rich young ruler's mind was he'd achieved it, right? He had wealth. He had power.
And in some
shape, he had fame, right? Because he was a ruler. So people looked up to him. Now he's being told, give everything up, your possessions, your status, your power, and follow me. You'll receive this gift. And he went away pretty sad, didn't he? His idea of perfection was not God's idea of perfection. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. Kind of comes into play there, doesn't it? And then as we look at perfection from a Christendom, as a church family maybe, one word pops to mind that we apply often, whether consciously or not. Sinlessness. So when we think perfection, sometimes it jumps to mind, well, to be perfect, I would have to be without sin. But to be without sin, I would have to be as Christ. There was only one Christ. He died because of my sin. How could I achieve perfection? How can Jesus say, and you shall be perfect? How can he be saying this? Because I can't do that. I can't live a sinless life. In Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Think about that. If you're not conformed to this world, if you don't fall into the traps of this world, you're proving God's will through your actions and becoming acceptable and perfect. Colossians 1:28, teaching in wisdom so that we may present every man complete, perfect. That's the same word there, the Greek, same phrasing, complete in Christ. James 1:4, let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So we start seeing a shape of what Jesus is talking about that is not necessarily our view of perfection. It's not this earthly perfect. It's not being perfect at every moment. It's exemplifying God. It's exemplifying in the modeled behavior, the full development of your potential, the growth into maturity of godliness, continually reaching for perfection. The Father's kindness is modeled in Matthew, right? Love your enemy. So we're seeing a behavior that's modeled, actions that are modeled. And you know, when we think about it, achieving perfect modeling of behavior at every second and every point in our life. Again, if we could do that, we wouldn't have needed Christ, right? So if we can't achieve it every moment of every second, can we achieve it along the way? I think the answer is yes. Have you ever done something, whether it's working on a car or a sports activity or a task, and you think, that turned out really good? And it felt good when you got that action right. You know, it may have been working with your children. It may have been working with your spouse. It may have been a work project. But when you got that thing right, for that instant, for that moment, in that context, you achieved a perfect result as was intended, right? And you think, wow. That feels good. I feel good about what I just did. I feel good about the actions that I just took. And it makes you feel good not only inside, but your outward manifestation of attitude then is reflected. Well, the same with our action and attitudes. If we turn the other cheek and we walk away and we think, I just did that. I actually just did that. I didn't think I was capable of that. Well, God designed us, right? God made us man and woman. God knows what we're capable of. He wouldn't have said, you shall be perfect, if we couldn't achieve that. Now, it is a continual journey for us, I firmly believe. It is a continual process, and we don't go, man, I've made it over here. Whew, I'm good enough, right? That's the Pharisees coming out. You know, I've finally made it. I'm there. I don't have to work any harder. I don't have to go any further because I have achieved perfection. But we can have moments, and we can link those moments together into an overall behavior while all fall short of the glory of God. We're all going to sin. We all need Christ's blood. We can model that behavior. We can reflect Christ. We can reflect God through our actions, through our activities. We can become stronger in our faith, both inside and how we manifest it outwardly. God expects honesty, goodness, kindness, and mercy. The right moral choices from the right motivation. Perfection or completion, in God's instance, comes through obedience. If we obey God's words and we try our best to follow the example and the pattern that's being laid out by Christ His Son, who He manifested in the flesh for us to walk after, if we can model those behaviors and we can strive to put those into our lives, then we are working on perfection. We are doing the things that would make us perfect, right? Because as we are working and we end this life and enter the next, we've achieved perfection when we receive the reward and we go through Christ. Perfection or completion comes through obedience. Now, there are pitfalls. Some, and these pitfalls are self-imposed pitfalls. They're self-imposed limitations. You might recognize some of these things in others, but more importantly, we should recognize them in ourselves. Because when we hear the word perfect and we think, I could never be perfect, I could never reach perfection, I could never do those things that I'm supposed to do in completeness to receive the mercy and the grace of God, well, that's unrealistic expectations in yourself. Then we will place unrealistic expectations on our preachers, on our leaders, and on our brethren. And folks, if there's one thing's for certain, when you place all your faith in a person, you'll probably be let down at some point. It might be in a small way or it might be in a big way, but we're all imperfect. Again, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, so we can never tie our salvation and our faith to an individual who's leading us, who might make mistakes that might hurt us. But we can't sacrifice our walk and our striving for perfection as we look at others. We have to look at ourselves first. Procrastination. You know, I've seen this too often, too many times. Well, I'm going to wait till I'm good enough at that to go do it, right? It's an excuse, a convenient excuse that people exercise, that we exercise, that I've exercised. We've all done it. If I only knew I could be successful at it, then I'd go do it. I want a guarantee. I want a guaranteed outcome, right? I want somebody to say, you know what, it's going to be okay. You're going to get there. You're going to do it right. Everything's going to be good. I guarantee it. Well, no, that ain't going to happen. There's not going to be any guarantees for striving to achieve the example and the role model that's set forth by God and Christ. There's always time. I'll do it tomorrow. You know, tonight, at the end of the lesson, we'll talk about an invitation where we can make a choice, right? There's always time. You know what? There's not always time. There's not always time because once the moment's gone, the moment's gone. And we do not know what the next moment's going to bring. The only thing we're certain of at any point in time is the second that we're living in right now. We do not know what's going to happen in the next moment. So if I don't seize an opportunity to obey the gospel, if I don't seize an opportunity to walk the walk, I've missed the opportunity. It's moved on from me. And yes, maybe it'll happen sometime later, but don't delay what's offered right now. Uninvolvement. It goes back to that not good enough. And we see this. There are folks who say, well, I'm not going to sing. I'm just going to sit here quietly because I can't sing on key. Nobody ever said you had to sing on key. It's part of praising the Lord. Pray. Some folks have said, well, I can never get up and pray in public. This is your family. Most of the time, it's us, right? We all know each other. And yes, we have some visitors. And yes, it's large numbers of us. But we know us, right? What more safe or comfortable environment is there to overcome the pitfalls and unrealistic expectations of perfection? Preach or evangelize. You know, I don't know enough scripture to evangelize, some might say. Well, guess what? God gave you the word. Just open it up and read it together with someone. He's not asking you to memorize all the scriptures of the Bible. He's giving you a perfect and complete word to utilize. Preaching, speaking, you know, standing up talking. And some are more gifted than others, perhaps. Some are more confident than others, perhaps. But again, there's no better place to learn than right here with your family. It's like, okay, this is our gathering place. This is where family gets together. And if we can't trust family, well, that's an inward problem, right? I can't trust you enough because I'm afraid I'm going to be embarrassed. Well, it's okay to be embarrassed in front of family because you got to learn sometime. Fellowship. Well, you know, I didn't cook any food, so I'm not going to stay. Well, I don't really know that person, so I'm not going to stay. You know what? It's not about the food. It's not about knowing someone before. It's not about necessarily the event that it's surrounding. It's about being with your brethren. It's about getting to know each other. So to achieve perfection, sharing with your fellow Christians, there's no better place to do that. We'll end with a couple of scriptures tonight. Philippians 3, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Ephesians 4:24, put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. The perfection that we often seek is absolutely impossible because it's an earthly perfection that we seek. But the perfection that God desires from us is absolutely possible. The perfection of obedience, the perfection of continually forgetting what's behind and straining what's before us, towards what's before us. We'll never be perfect enough, but we can have those moments and we can try to string as many of those moments together as we possibly can. And as we string those moments together of exemplifying Christ, modeling the behavior and the instruction that's given to us by God, we can become better on the inside. We can become more fulfilled spiritually. And that will manifest in an outward perfection that others will see. If you're here tonight and you think, I'm not good enough. I haven't done enough. I can't continually be perfect enough. You never will be. None of us will be. That's God's mercy. That's God's grace of the sacrifice of His Son. Don't let thinking you're not good enough or couldn't be good enough hold you back from making the walk, putting on Christ, being baptized, rising anew, and continuing to walk in faith with the family. If you've fallen away and you feel, you know, I've done some stuff that is so bad, I can't make it back. God would never accept me. I can't accept me. God will always accept you. Your brethren will accept you. You can come forward and ask for prayers. You can be restored. God gave us this family to help us through the bad times and celebrate the good times. So don't put off until another second that you don't know that you're promised to make a commitment to strive for being perfect, to strive for the goal which will make us perfect. We'll never be perfect in this life, but we can strive towards it, and we can model it, and we can let that outward manifestation shine as a light to others that putting on Christ is fulfilling. It is the only walk that we should have in this life. Let's stand and sing.
As a fountain,
'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste to His spring.
There's a fountain of love from the source of